You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and with our listeners out there.
Was there anything in the Canadian budget that caught your eye, or did you
I think it's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Prime Minister Carney is a devout control freak. And he's using climate hysteria to impose his superstitions. And I saw interviews with him immediately after they dropped the budget, and his conversations were all emissions. And in his world, emissions are bad. And what it really means is atmospheric carbon dioxide. You know, there's lovely little molecules up there, but people who are onto the that CO2 causes warming, I think they suppose that a molecule of CO2 has a shiny side down and is reflecting heat back to the earth and thereby adding to the warmth. Now, there's a few things here. One, a carbon dioxide molecule in the atmosphere, when it hits it, gets an extra photon of energy from wherever, it just does a little wiggle, just a little zip, and then it goes back to its standard whatever it is doing. So there is absolutely no link, cause and effect, between atmospheric CO2 and weather, and even more extended to climate. The next step on the warming faction is that they have stated that warming is bad for life on Earth. But if you go back almost a billion years when life first started to arrive and develop here, the warm spells have been very good for life, and the glacial periods have been very bad for life. You know, just imagine lifting up a glacier and seeing what's underneath. Well, I'll tell you not. Then there was one time, maybe 500 million years ago, when the Earth was completely covered with ice. One could say it was a huge slush ball. Now tell me, how was life doing on the planet then? So the promotion is that one, CO2 causes warming. Absolutely not so. That's both on scientific argument and empirical. You just take a chart back a few million years, plot in the CO2 content and temperature, and there is no link. And then the other one, as I've mentioned, it's totally absurd that warming's bad for you. Now, a long time ago, when I was taking geology and geophysics, the lectures then, there was no concept of climate change. The issue was whether there would be another ice age or not. And that was a concern, and lectures, and so there was discussions about whether an ice age was a random event or whether it was a regular event. Now, at that time, in the early 60s, there was no evidence to determine either, and then with satellites coming in and research expanding, then you have a very good proxy for the history of temperature, and it comes and goes according to orbital mechanics. a key thing, as anybody would agree with, is how far away is the Earth from the Sun? And then the other one, and that varies according to orbital mechanics. Milankovitch was the first guy to come up and propose those. So then a long time ago, the consideration was climate change was random, or climate change was methodical, but then there was no evidence. The evidence came in, and it points out that climate change is indeed very methodical.
Deep field core samples that have gone down very long distances show it's about 100,000 years of ice for the Earth and then 10,000 years of warm.
Yeah, there's close to 100,000 year period, and then there's 41,000, and then 10,000, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Those are the Milankovitch.
Yeah, so more ice than warm over the history of the Earth.
Yeah.
So we're quite lucky to be in the warm period.
And I would say, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and I would say it's also why we have human civilization to the degree that we do, because like your major cities in North America, we're under ice more than 10,000 years
ago. Well, can you imagine Chicago at the extreme of the last ice age? Well, those part of the establishment of the Great Lakes, was some of it was gouging by ice. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, 12,000 years ago, you were in Chicago. It
Vancouver.
Might have been a mile deep with ice.
Vancouver, where it's mild enough, where we have palm trees on the beach, was under a mile of ice. But Vancouver Island was not covered by ice, and it does have some unique animals and plants because of that.
Oh, yeah. There were parts of Vancouver, and the coast where it's, I think it's called Refugia, is where the ice didn't get it. So the establishment for 100 years or so has had an argument that first peoples from northern Asia, well, Siberia, walked across a land bridge at the Bering Strait because the ocean levels were so low. And then, here's where they really get it wrong. They then walked down valleys inland, which would have been barren of any food. Can you imagine a man going along with his wife and two kids in those conditions? Not at all. The truth of the matter is they came around and down the coast in small boats, boats made of sticks and hide and bones and stuff like that, because it wasn't until about 7,000 years ago that you ended up with big trees on the west coast. But there is a man, he's been called Kennewick, and his skeleton was found essentially complete at near Kennewick on the Columbia River. And the first identification of him was maybe 1900s, and he looked Caucasoid. He looked like sort of European. And that kind of upset the establishment. So anyways, the work was done, and he was identified as Ainu. And the Ainu came from the island archipelago north of Japan, and they would have come around in small boats. And indeed, Kennewick Man himself, with the dental work, he determined that Kennewick Man had spent his whole life on the west coast from what is now Alaska right on down to Oregon, where he eventually died. Now, also, there were other examples of Kennewick guys found, one east from Kamloops, And they also had a unique way of taking strips of rabbit fur and weaving it into a sort of blanket kind of thing that no other tribe in North America has ever done. So they were pretty unique. And so the Ainu in the Japanese archipelago became maritime about 20,000 years ago. Maritime meaning they could get around in their small boats. Well, small, they may have been 30 feet long or something like that. And then that was 20,000 years ago. And then they arrived down on our coast about 10,000 years ago. I like the story.
Also, there was a land bridge between Europe and Britain that existed up until 9,000 years ago. It was known as Dogger Land.
And that's then it right, became, yeah,
submerged
for bringing
by
that forward, yeah.
Yeah, so that helped people get around that area as well.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline from Zero Hedge. The last time tech looked this, I can't lose, it did.
Yeah. Another well-crafted headline. But the message is, the action in stock markets and particularly certain sectors has been very good. Yeah.
Well, when they say last time tech looked, I can't lose, it did, I think they're talking about the dot-com bust in 2000.
Yeah, that would be a good example. Yeah, and you can't lose, and then all, and when the crowd is in, that's usually near the top, and then the can't lose belief changed to, oh, it did lose.
From Bloomberg, Democratic victories give party a roadmap for beating Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. The media establishment does not like Donald Trump. So anything that goes against Trump is widely and excitedly broadcast.
Well, there's another headline here from Zero Hedge, and it will connect to the recent U.S. elections. Britain doomed under Labour as wealthy scramble to get the hell out of London.
Oh, yeah. The mayor in London is pretty radical character. And then you've got the Prime Minister, Starmer, and he is pretty radical himself. He is attempting personally to undo the Brexit that got England from out of the clutching embrace of Europeans. And members of Starmer's Labour Party have uttered publicly for him to resign. He won't, because he's on a mission. And then even now the Crown with King Charles behind the scene is letting him know and England know that the Constitution requires that Starmer leave, and he won't. So somewhere there's going to be quite a blow up here.
Well, of course, and the new mayor of New York, Zoran Mamdani, he says his solution to the city's problems is to tax the rich, because I think both London and New York, those are the two big cities where the billionaires live and the millionaires. There's nothing to stop those very wealthy people from going elsewhere and taking their money with them.
That's the thing about capital.
Yeah.
If the environment turns hostile, the capital goes. And but I now there's some law in the U.S. that throw people out of the country if they are identified as communists. So this is what's Trump working on with this latest guy. And there was sort of a strange set of things going on with all of the illegal immigrants that the Biden administration encouraged, tens of millions of them. And the whole plan there was to get them registered as voters. I think one step is getting a driver's license. Anyways, the whole plan was to get them, was that, of course, the Democrats can't have a big victory on their policies, and they won't change their policies of intrusion. So the way they win is through cheating. And this is stalled out now. So,
from Zero Hedge, the EU has a rare earths problem. Poland may have the answer.
Yeah, I thought that was a good one. There's large areas of Poland that could be eligible for the geological discovery of rare earth items. And, of course, Canada. You've got, jillions of square miles of terrain yet to be explored. So somewhere in Canada with a huge terrain, there will be...
We have rare earths being developed in Saskatchewan and also Quebec.
Yep, yeah.
So we have them too.
Oh, sure.
But one of the problems with rare earths is when you process them, you have to use sulfuric acid, which isn't good for the environment. And China, which leads the world in rare earth development, has these mega factories that use sulfuric acid. And people complain that, A, nothing grows near them, and the Chinese love to garden, and, B, the stuff that does grow near them tastes awful.
Yeah, well, Canada's got a lot of experience that, because going way back, that huge, incredible mine at Trail, it was a complex ore, and there were all kinds of byproducts from refining and mining. And the company then, since for a while called Cominco, they became very sophisticated at unusual elements and whatnot in that. And way back when, say the 1940s and 50s, there was so much terrible affluent coming into the atmosphere at that mine that all of the vegetation, trees and everything, then nothing was growing. And then they realized and ended up with a relatively clean operation there at Trail. So bad things from mining have happened, and mining has been cleaned up.
To a great deal.
Yeah.
In Alberta, where they had open pit coal mines, those are now provincial parks with big lakes. Well stocked with fish.
Oh, yeah. And the stripping for the, what do they call them? The oil sands further north. They've been reclaiming ground, and that was just terrible muskeg.
Yeah.
And then building huge areas of very decent ground with trees on it and all that sort of stuff. So, you know.
Now from Zero Hedge, worst U.S. consumer sentiment in decades. Goldman goes DEFCON 1 and imploding U.S. consumer confidence.
Yeah, that DEFCON 1, that is a warning that was used on possible threats from Soviet. And DEFCON 1, and I don't know, I forget.
That's war. That means you're going to war.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, with the U.S. consumer, what's good for GM is good for America, was the old saying. Auto repossessions are hitting rates not seen since the recession of 2008.
Yep.
So people can't afford to pay for their cars anymore.
They're getting hit right at home, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sad, but it's there, and it you have to put it into your studies and into your thinking. Yeah.
Now, on the Canadian budget, which was just released from the National Post headline, with nearly $80 billion in red ink, Carney racks up largest ever non-pandemic deficit.
Oh, yeah. And then, as I said, I watched him commenting in interviews with the media scrum, and all he could talk about, emissions. He's quite...
Of which Canada is less than 2% of the world's emissions. There's nothing we can do about it.
Well, for him, I mean, as I mentioned, emissions is a very bad condition. But emissions, when you get through it, it's just the atmospheric carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
And as we've discussed it, it's absolute nonsense that carbon dioxide is an evil. But what the reason why it's used is because they're using it to control people and tax people.
Yeah.
But that's we're in what a political environment where people are beginning to realize the government is taking too much. And they take all this money in order to tell us and force us to do what they want. So we're in people are really becoming aware of this, and there's I call it a great reformation, another one. They've happened before.
And from stock market news, the $320 billion AI boom, here's why uranium stock investors are the secret winners. That's because they're going to be building atomic power plants for these AI data centers, right, Bob?
Yeah, but this one, what the bulls in the uranium market are seeing is that more and more the mining, the extract of uranium will occur.
Yes.
And therefore, let's play that one. But they don't understand that these new modular reactors, they can eat old stored uranium. So it's not going to be a play on Cameco or these ones where they're going to see a huge increase in production. Whatever increase in production for the increasing demand for uranium, a large part of it is going to be met by existing old uranium stocks. So, yeah.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we had some fun today and looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.